We are beginning today a new four-week series called When Storms Rage, The God Who Meets You in the Middle. The bad news that I have to share with you today is that storms of life are a reality for every single one of us. I wish I could tell you and give you something warm, fuzzy to make you feel good and tell you that there's a magic pill you can take, there's a scripture you can read, there's a shot that you can get in your arm that can cause you to avoid the storms of life. But that's not the truth. Storms are a reality for all of us. But the good news is, we don't have to go through them alone. There is a God who meets us in the middle of every storm of life that we can encounter. Whether it's a relationship storm, a health storm, a financial storm, a marriage storm, or family storm, all of us have encountered them at some point or the other in our lives. And maybe you're saying, well, not me, Pastor. I've not been there. Well, you must only be 12 or 13 years old. Because at some point, you will encounter a storm. At some point, you will encounter a strong storm of life that you've never encountered before. How many's ever been through something that you thought you would never go through? You remember when you were 18, 20, 21 and thought you were 10 foot tall and bulletproof? Some of you may be there right now. That don't last long. Maybe you've seen your parents go through some storms and you thought, not me. I won't have to go through that. You know, when you're a teenager, you think you're smarter than your parents. And you think, well, they're only going through this because they don't know what I know. They're not as smart as it. They're not with it. We don't say that anymore, do we? With it. I don't know what it is now. But they're not whatever it is that you say now. And we think we can outsmart the storm. Or we think we can save enough money to protect against the storm. And the fact is, there's going to be a time that you go through something you've seen someone else go through and you thought you would never go through. Storms find their way to all of us. Giving our lives to Christ doesn't even make us exempt from storms, but it does give us courage and strength to overcome the storms. Jesus said it like this in John 16:33. Jesus said, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. He said, in this world you will have trouble. He made that very clear, very concrete. He didn't say you might have trouble. He emphasized you will have trouble. In this world, you will have trouble. You're going to have storms. But take heart, I've overcome the world. And see, here's the rest of that. If I could put an addendum onto that verse. If you're in Jesus, then you overcome too. I want you to know at the onset of the message today and at the onset of this series that what I'm sharing with you about storms of life is not theory or head knowledge. It's born not only out of Scripture, but it's born out of experience. I've experienced in my own life the fact that storms can rage and there is a God who meets you in the middle. I've been through financial storms. See, sometimes we can look at people and think, they got no problems. They don't know what it's like to go through what I'm going through. You'd be surprised. I know what it's like to go through financial storms. I know what it's like starting into adulthood, coming out of teenage years and getting independent on your own financially, making bad decisions and having to park your car behind your grandmother's house to hide it from the repo man. I know what it's like to have no money. Now, when I say no money, I don't mean no money on me. I mean no money and no food. Some of you have heard me share the story at a time when I was literally living in a broom closet, a borrowed broom closet at that. Had no money, and the only food I had was a bag of potato chips and a jar of mustard. And just to make things more interesting, I squirt the mustard on the potato chips. Just add a little flavor to it. I know what it's like to go through some financial storms. I know what it's like to go through some health storms, to be in my mid-20s and the doctor here in this town look at me and say, it looks like you've had a heart attack. And before you know it, you're doing stress tests and echocardiograms, and you're saying, not me. I'm too young. I know what it's like to go through some health storms. The greatest storm of my life happened last year. Sometime in early summer, I began to slip into a depression. By the end of summer, early fall, I was in a very dark and bad place. I felt worthless, hopeless, and alone. And some of you that's been here at Trinity for a little while, you may be saying, Pastor, I never knew that. That was by intention. Because I thought I had to put on a strong face for you that you couldn't know. And around people, I was fine. I was pastor. But at home, I was in a dark place. I was in a pit, and I knew I needed help to climb out of it. And so I asked God to help me, and I asked God to lead me to the right people to help me climb out of that storm of depression that I found myself in. And I can tell you that He has. He has. This is the first time publicly that I've shared this with our church family. And it's not been an easy thing to do, but it's been a needful thing to do. Because I want you to know that I found through the greatest storm of my life, God is there. And I want you to know through the greatest storm of your life, God is there. And I know that the storm of depression is something that needs to be called out. Not just in this church, but in the church as a whole. It's been the serious thing that everyone deals with, but no one wants to talk about. And I realize that as the leader of this church, what I experience doesn't happen in a vacuum. It's not isolated to just me, but it affects a whole lot of people. So I want you to know, if you found yourself struggling with that, there's no shame. And I want you to know you're not alone. There's nothing wrong with you. You're not in that because you've sinned. You're not in that because you're weak. You're not walking through that because you're less than a person or less than a child of God. It's a storm. It's a storm just like any other health crisis, just like any other financial crisis, just like any other storm I've been through, you've been through. It's a storm. But here's the good news. God is present in every storm. But perhaps more importantly and applicable to the message today is I want you to know you're not alone in this storm. We're only alone because we choose to be. And that was perhaps one of the hardest lessons for me to learn in the last year. We're only alone because we choose to be. And as a private person, as an introvert, I'm basically going through a process of reinventing myself. And recognizing that who I've been and what I've done has gotten me to this point, but it can't take me any farther. And so I choose to not be alone anymore. I choose to not be alone anymore. I want you to hear from the Word of God today that you and I can actually have confidence in a storm. We can have confidence in a storm. And I pray that today becomes an anchor moment for us. Because when we come into great storms of life, confidence is the first thing that the evil one tries to strip away from you. That's what I found as a big reality in the storm that I was going through was a complete loss of confidence. What do you mean, confidence? I mean, feeling like I'm losing my confidence that God loves me. Feeling as though I'm losing my confidence as a person. Feeling as though a total loss of confidence. And so the enemy wants to remove and strip away the confidence that you have. As we can get a hold of the truth of God's Word and get a hold of some people around us, then confidence can become an anchor for us in every storm. That we can come to a point that says, no matter how strong the winds and waves may be, I am confident in the fact that I am chosen and loved and secure in Christ. Through this series, we're going to look at and learn from the Apostle Paul. His vision was to go to Rome and preach the gospel to Caesar. Paul is a prisoner on board a ship headed for Italy. He has this overwhelming, heart-gripping vision to go to Rome, which was the superpower of the day, and preach the gospel to the most powerful man on the face of the earth. And Paul has a what-if dream. What if Caesar gives his life to Christ? What might happen? What might be the domino effect if Caesar, the most powerful man on the face of the earth, what if he says yes to Jesus? And Paul is now a prisoner on board a boat headed for Italy, and it looks like his vision is about to come to pass. It looks like his dream is going to become reality, and all of a sudden, a storm comes. A storm comes that would change their plans. Now they're not headed directly for Italy. Maybe you can relate to that. You're headed in the right direction. You're making progress. You're going the direction you want to go. You're seeing right things happen. And then all of a sudden, wham, here comes a storm. You're seeing positive things happen in your family, and then all of a sudden you get a phone call. You're in a storm. You're seeing positive things happen with your finances. You're starting to make progress. You're seeing good things take place, and then wham, you lose your job. That's how storms happen, don't they? Wouldn't it be nice if we had Doppler for the storms of life? We're going to give you a 7-day extended forecast that about 2:30 on Friday the 6th, a major storm's coming, so prepare, batten down the hatches, go get the milk and bread. Storm's coming, but that's not how it works. The storms of life are unexpected. They just show up out of nowhere. And all of a sudden, you're in a storm. Acts chapter 27 details for us, and this is where we're going to be camped out through this series this month, is Acts chapter 27. Verses 4 through 9, we're not going to look there, but I want to give to you the descriptive key phrases that Paul uses to describe the storm he's going through. And they sound eerily similar to the storms of life that we face. Verse number 4, Paul said, the winds were against us. Maybe somebody has said that recently. Now, we may not say, the winds are against me. We may say things like, it feels like everything is against me. Or even, it feels like everyone is against me. Instead of the winds being with them and them making progress, now the winds are against them. And there's difficulty. Paul said this in verse number 7. He said, we couldn't hold our course. We keep getting off track. I've heard some of us say that. Pastor, it seems like as soon as I start to do the right thing, I get off track. Now, let's just have a little family conversation moment, can we? I'm going to back up here. Let's just have a little family conversation moment, can we? Let's just gather around the fireplace in the family room and talk here for a minute. One of the things that I hear Christians say all the time is, it seems like the more I try to do right, the harder the devil fights me. Now, let's lean in here and think about that for a minute. What would you do if you were the devil? Is he going to lay down and play dead? So we say, yeah, it just seems like the more I go after God, the harder things happen for me. The more adversity I find. Listen, the Bible says that when we give our life to Christ, we are not now part of a carnival. We are part of a battle. We are part of a war. And so Satan is going to do everything that he can to get you to stop moving forward. You say, well, I'm trying to really live for Christ. I'm trying to grow. I'm trying to do right things, but I'm having some hardship. Listen, we're just sitting in the family room, right? We're just around the fireplace. Join the club. And there's been many times I felt like I'm not only a member, but I felt like I'm the president. Okay, so I want you to know you're not alone. And what you're experiencing with that is not something foreign to you. It's not because you're some kind of spiritual freak. It's because you're breathing air. It's a reality for everybody. Paul said we couldn't hold our course. We kept getting off track. Verse number 8, he said we moved with difficulty. It's not easy anymore. It's not just a normal ride in the boat. There's difficulty. It's hard. Life got hard. It was a challenge. I can relate to that. The easiest of things become difficult when you're in a storm. When I was in the eye of the storm for me last year, it was a challenge just to think, what am I going to have for lunch today? When I was in the eye of my storm, it was a challenge just, what am I going to wear today? Don't bring such complexities to me like that. When you're in the eye of a storm, the simplest things can feel like you're performing brain surgery. Paul said we moved with difficulty. And here in verse number 9, he said much time was lost. I think that's one of the most challenging things for us when we're in a storm. Is we're setting on the journey of our life and we have an agenda. We have a schedule. As Paul and his companions are in the boat, they have a schedule. We're going to be at this stop by this time. We're going to be at that place by that time. And by this time of the month, we should be in Rome. And when they got in the storm and they compared where they are to where they had planned to be, Paul said, we're losing time. And I would say most of us have this occasion in our life where we look at where we are in our station of life and we say, I'm 28 years old, I'm 42 years old, I'm 60 years old, and I thought I would be at this point in my life by now. I had planned when I set out on my journey by this point in my life, I thought that I would be over this. I had thought by this point in our marriage, we wouldn't still be dealing with this. I had thought by this point, I would be making more money, or I wouldn't be living in this situation, or wearing this type of thing wrapped around my neck and choking me out. I had thought by this point that I would be farther along. And yet, I'm losing time. And I want you to know that God, in His sovereignty, does not operate by clock and calendar. He's not looking at you, comparing where you are to a calendar and saying, well, my goodness, Jim, by this point, you should be this far along. He's not confined to chronological time. God is not moved by the clock or the calendar. One of the reasons why we get so hung up on feeling like we're losing time is because we're not evaluating our life in comparison to God's plan. We're evaluating our life in comparison to other people. We're looking at the people around us and we're saying, well, they're 10 years younger than me and look where they're at. We look at the people around us and we say, they have the perfect family, or they're financially independent, or they don't have any of these issues that I have, and I should be farther along. I'm losing time in the storm. Realize when you are in a storm, it feels like time slows down. It feels like everybody's moving forward and life is passing you by. And instead of making progress, it's all you can do to get through the day. I'm losing time. That's one of the things I said last year, is it feels like I've lost a whole year of my life. In reality, I've come to find out that God redeems the time. And sometimes what happens in the blessing of a storm is that you go through a storm so you can catch your breath. You go through the storm so you can... And not only that, you can say, all right, I'm not just going to journey myself, but let's see how many people we can get together to go on this journey together. Paul said much time was lost. Now let's dive in here to Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27, verse number 9. Much time had been lost, and sailing had already become dangerous because by now it was after the Day of Atonement. So Paul warned them, "Men, I can see that our voyage is going to be disastrous and bring great loss to ship and cargo and to our own lives also." But the centurion, instead of listening to what Paul said, followed the advice of the pilot and of the owner of the ship. And since the harbor was unsuitable to winter in, the majority decided that we should sail on. How many knows you never want to listen to the majority? The majority is rarely ever right. Hoping to reach Phoenix and winter there. That's not Phoenix, Arizona. We're talking about in the Greek Isles. Beautiful place. This was a harbor in Crete facing both southwest and northwest. And when a gentle south wind began to blow, they saw their opportunity. So they weighed anchor and sailed along the shore of Crete. Before very long, a wind of hurricane force called the Northeaster, some translations say Euroclodon, swept down from the island. The ship was caught by the storm and could not head into the wind, so we gave way to it and were driven along. Paul shows us some important things in these scriptures and in the scriptures to come that can help us have confidence in every storm. Confidence is important. Now, before we really unpack this, there's something I want you to know. You and I need these principles, because one of the things that happens to us in our minds when we're in a storm is we forget that this world is not our home. When we are in a storm, we start to take everything personal, and we wrap our identity around what's happening in a storm. And we need to keep a proper focus and realize that if we're in Christ and we're following Him, that this world is not our home. We're just pilgrims passing through. Sometimes I'll go to Lexington. Malia and I'll go to Lexington. Go to the mall or go to Malone's. Thank God for Malone's. We'll go, you know, once a month, twice a month, something. Have some meetings over there. Hang out with some friends. It would be unwise for me to say, you know, we'll be in Lexington once a month. We ought to buy a house over here, because we want to be as comfortable as we can. We want to put roots down here. And the fact of the matter is, I'm not a resident of Lexington. I'm just passing through Lexington. I just have a short span of time that I'm going to be in Lexington. So it makes no sense for me to try and put down roots in a place that I'm just passing through. It makes no sense for me to try and transfer my citizenship and my residence to a place that I'm only there temporarily. And I want us to understand, when we're coming through a storm, we can lose sight of the fact that the storms of this life and this world really don't affect our eternal destiny, because we're just passing through. We're not permanent citizens of this world. We're just pilgrims on a journey. Life is but a vapor, here today and gone tomorrow. Storms are going to be a reality. So rather than wrapping my identity up in what I go through or don't go through, I'm going to keep the fact that, you know what? Life is going to get hard for everybody, but it doesn't matter, because I'm not a resident here. I'm just passing through. Just passing through. Here's the first thing that you need to know that will help you have confidence in a storm. The disobedience of another will not stop you. The disobedience of another will not stop you. Verse 10 says, "The centurion, instead of listening to what Paul said, followed the advice of the pilot and the owner of the ship." The Roman leader chose not to listen to Paul, the man of God. He listened to others. He listened to the majority. He listened to what other people said. It would have been very easy, as Paul is beginning his journey, heading toward Rome, he's going to see his vision realized. Now, can you imagine how many of you here this morning would say, "I have a dream, I have a goal that I would like to see realized at some point in my life"? How many of you would say that you have that? This big dream and vision you'd like to have realized. Not even half of y'all's hands went up, which is fine, because at some point through that, before 2015 ends, I want to see about 300 people in this church say, "I know God's plan for my life." Can you imagine, as Paul is in this place, he's heading out to the fulfillment of his vision. They get the weather report. There's a big storm coming, and Paul says, you know, I don't think we need to leave right now. And the Roman leader listened to everyone else who had more interest in making a profit than listening to the preacher. And they head out headlong into a storm. It looked like he was not going to achieve his vision. But Paul learned something. Paul knew something that you and I need to know. The disobedience of a few folks was not going to keep Paul from God's plan for his life. The disobedience and the lack of interest on behalf of the Roman centurion to hear what God was saying was not going to keep Paul from God's plan for his life. He was going to make it to Rome. It could have been very appropriate in the eyes of us when he realizes they're not going to listen to what God is saying. We're going to go into a storm. We're going to go into a hurricane. No one wants to listen to what God is saying. It would have been very appropriate in our eyes for Paul to curl up in a ball in a corner of the boat somewhere, put his thumb in his mouth, cry big tears, and say, "Nobody cares. Why does everything always go wrong? Why is it when I start to make progress, everything comes against me?" And we would have probably come along, Paul, and said, I know, I understand, Paul. I feel the same way. We could echo what Paul may be saying. I'm about to see my dream come to pass. Everything is going in the right direction. I'm going to Rome. Caesar's going to get saved. Everything is great. And then all of a sudden, no, you're not. We would be right there along, Paul. I know there was that time I was going, man, life was going great. And then all hell broke loose. And I felt like I can't do anything right. And nobody loves me. And why does everything go wrong? But Paul knew this. The disobedience of a few folks is not going to stop God's plan for your life. See, here's a key piece of knowledge that the devil wants to keep us from learning. One of the most effective tools the evil one uses is to get us more focused on what other people are doing than what God is doing. So many people get distracted by what the activity of other people around them than the activity of God in them. We get more focused on what other people are doing right or wrong than what God is doing. And here's what happens when we get into a storm, and it's the strongest storm of our life. You can get caught, your attention can get caught on what the people around you are doing. And if I zero in on the faults and hang-ups of others, then I'm never going to make it through my storm. If Paul would have zeroed in on the fact, here's this Roman leader, he's the authority figure, and he doesn't want to take wise counsel, he doesn't want to listen to what God's doing, I'm never going to make it through this storm. But he didn't get focused on the disobedience of a person, he got focused on the faithfulness of God. And he realized, just because the centurion doesn't want to follow God, is not going to stop God's plan for my life. So when you and I are in a journey of our life and we're going through a storm, you're going to have people in your journey with you that don't value the voice of God. But don't let that stop you from valuing the voice of God. You're going to have people in your boat with you that don't want to hear what God has to say. But don't let that stop you from hearing what God has to say. We get so caught up in the disobedience of the people around us that we lose sight of the most important thing. I hear that in the local church all the time. Well, Pastor, how can I really worship God when so-and-so is there? It's very easy. Don't focus on so-and-so. Focus on God. I heard that. Well, this person that sings on the praise team, or they play an instrument, or they do this or that, I heard this about them, and I somebody told somebody that told somebody that this about them, and it's just hard for me to worship God thinking about what that person may be doing. Well, see, here's the thing. Are you coming to worship God, or are you coming to worship that person? Because I love y'all, but I ain't here for y'all. I didn't come to worship your faithfulness. See, it's getting a little tense now, isn't it? I didn't come to worship your holiness. I didn't come to thank you for your blood that was shed for my salvation. I didn't come to praise you for your faithfulness in my storm. I come to praise God. And when we get our focus on Him rather than off of everybody else, the fact of the matter is, I'm not going to let the disobedience of a few keep me from the faithfulness of one. Paul said, I'm going to keep on going. I'm going to keep on going. If my focus is on how people have disappointed me, then I'll never make it through the storm. Can we have another family conversation here? Come on, let's huddle up around the fireplace. People disappointed you? People have hurt you? Buck up, buckaroo. It's called L-I-F-E. And it happens to everybody. Disappointment is not an opportunity, an excuse to opt out on God. Offense is not an excuse to opt out on God. Well, God, you're going to put me here in this ship with a captain that don't even want to listen to you. How am I supposed to be effective? How am I supposed to fulfill my destiny when I'm surrounded by a bunch of people that don't care nothing about you? You keep your focus right. Say, well, I'm working around a bunch of people that don't love the Lord. Guess what? You still love the Lord. I'm married to people that don't know Jesus. Guess what? You continue to know Jesus. I'm the only one in my house that cares anything about the Lord. You continue to care about the Lord. You continue to value His voice. And it just may be that God saved you first so you could be a light in the darkness to everybody else around you. But what good is salt if it loses its saltiness? What good are you in that family? What good are you in that workplace if you say, well, nobody else cares, so I'm not going to care too? No, you be like the Apostle Paul that says, y'all may not care about hearing the voice of God, but I'm going to listen every morning, every afternoon, and every night to hear what God has to say, and I'm going to love the word of the Lord. Paul said, I'm going to keep on going. No one else wanted to follow God's voice, but Paul's still going to make it. Why? Because Romans 8:31 says, if God be for us, who can be against us? The way I say it is this: if God be for me, you may as well be too. Because you ain't going to stop it, so you may as well be for it. And if God be for you, everybody else may as well be for you too. Because guess what? The disobedience of your husband, your wife, your kids, your parents, your employer, the disobedience of the people you work with is not going to stop God's plan for your life. I have confidence in my storm. Number two, because while your circumstances may be strong, God is stronger. Your circumstances may be strong, but God is stronger. Verse number 18 says, we took such a violent battering. Maybe that's where you're at right now. We took such a violent battering from the storm that the next day they began to throw the cargo overboard. And I'm going to talk to you about that in the next couple weeks, that in a storm it's a great opportunity for you to recognize what you don't need in your life and get rid of some stuff. On the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. And when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. What's Paul saying? He's saying, I had some real and some strong circumstances. Some of Paul's circumstances of his storm were a ship that can't face into the winds, needing to toss everything overboard just to lighten the load, and darkness. No sun, no stars. All the while, the storm continues to rage. The circumstances of Paul's storm are going from bad to worse. And I believe there's someone here today that the circumstances of your storm are real and they are strong. I'm not trying to convince you or belittle you to make you think you're not in a storm. And what you're going through, what you're experiencing is no big deal. No, friend, I can tell you, circumstances of the storms of life can be real and strong. Perhaps some of the winds and waves of your storm are financial pressures, bills that won't go away, income that's hard to find. You desperately need a job or a better job. Maybe you're dealing with some winds and waves of school pressures and you're a student and you feel like you're in over your head and you don't know how you're going to move forward. Maybe some of your storm circumstances are a health crisis. And you're walking through something you never thought you'd walk through. Maybe it's a job loss. Perhaps you're walking through some very tough family storms. The winds and the waves of your storm are real. But I want you to know, friend, that God is real and God is stronger than the strength of your storm. Psalm 93 verse 3 says, "The seas have lifted up, Lord. The seas have lifted up their voice. The seas have lifted up the pounding waves. But mightier than the thunder of the great waters and mightier than the breakers of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty." David says, "All I can hear are the sound of the waves. All I can feel is the strength of the winds. But God, as mighty as my storm is, you, O Lord, are mightier." Come on, praise the Lord for that. Here's what I found to be true. I can put my amen along with what David said in Psalm 18, and perhaps some of you can too. Psalm 18, 16, he said, "He reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me." Understand this. David said, "He rescued me not because I deserved it, not because I was special or I was holy enough or I had perfect attendance in Sunday school. He rescued me for one simple reason. He delighted in me." I like that one. So I'm going to pull it out. I'm going to rescue it. Understand, friend, you may not feel very lovable right now. I can relate to that. You may not feel very worthy right now. You may be waterlogged and storm weary. But there is a God who says, "I delight in you. I choose you. I love you. And so I'm going to come get in the middle of your storm." Not because you prayed the perfect prayer or you quoted the magic verse or you had the magic password. "I'm going to come get in the middle of your storm because I love you. I love you." And it's not a compulsory love like this Christian church, "Oh, I love you in the Lord," whatever that means. Really, it's code for, "I can't stand your guts, but I have to say I love you. You look a whole lot better leaving than you do coming. I'll hide here behind the box of Honey Nut Cheerios at the store whenever I see you, but I love you." No. It's even to a level beyond love. He says, "I delight in you." You bring a smile to the face of God. He says, "For that very reason, I'm going to get in the middle of your storm. I'm going to wrap up here." How many give me 5 minutes to wrap this up? Because everything's been building to this point. Who give me 5 minutes? Yeah, five. 10, 15. That's cheesy, I know. Here's what it all comes down to. God will meet you in any storm. I don't know about you, but my church background, it wasn't spoken, but it was some of the unspoken things, led me to believe that there were certain storms of life that we were just on our own in. That God's not going to get in that storm. Like divorce. Oh, you're going through that storm, you're on your own. God's not going to get in the middle of that. Or financial storms. God doesn't talk about money. God don't care about your money. But Jesus talked about money more than he did heaven and hell combined. And so sometimes we can be led to believe by wrong teaching or just assumptions that there are certain storms we go through that God doesn't really care about because it's not connected to our salvation. But I've realized God will meet you in every storm. Every storm. Acts 27 verse 21 says, after they had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, men, you should have taken my advice to not sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourselves this damage and loss. But now I urge you to keep up your courage. Everybody shout, keep up your courage. Because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Last night, an angel of the God to whom I belong and to whom I serve stood beside me and said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar. And God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. Look at that. The grace of God has spared even the disobedient. That's why we're all alive today. Because we were those men that didn't want to hear what God had to say. And yet his grace intervened and said, no, you're going to live too. God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. Verse 25. So keep up your courage. Shout it one more time. Keep up your courage. For I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Paul's in the worst part of the storm. No food. No light. No change. And right in the middle of that storm, God summons Gabriel, the angel, to come to him. He says, Gabe, I got a mission for you. Yes, Lord, what is it? You see that storm right there? Yes, Lord, that's a big storm. Yeah, it's hurricane force. Gabe, here's what I want you to do. Go get in the middle of that storm. Stand on that boat. Stand beside Paul. Put your arm around him and tell him, you're going to make it. The sound of the winds and the waves were strong, but they could not stop the voice of God from speaking into that storm. Friend, I want you to know today, nothing can drown out God's voice from speaking to you in a storm. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. God sent an angel to Paul in the worst part of his storm. God could have just spoken to Paul. God could have spoken in an audible voice. God could have spoken into Paul's heart. But God said, you know what, Paul? Paul needs somebody. Paul needs a word that is wrapped up in flesh and blood. Paul needs to feel presence with him. Paul needs somebody that can touch him in the middle of the storm, put their arm around him and tell him it's going to be okay. And that verse said that the angel of the Lord came and stood beside me. Here's the thing that is a perplexity in God's plan. God could have stopped the storm. But instead, he stood beside Paul through the storm. My preference is that God stops every storm before it starts in my life. But that's not how it works. But here's what he does that he doesn't have to do. He'll come and stand beside me in the middle of every storm. Flesh and blood is what God sent. I don't know what storm you're going through. I don't know where you are right now, but I believe there's some of us here today, you're going through the worst storm of your life. And let me encourage you. God has an angel. The word angel in the Greek is messenger. And the book of Hebrews says that we entertain angels sometimes unaware. That God sends angels into our life and we don't even realize it. I believe that God has somebody, a messenger, flesh and blood, that He wants to send into your storm to put their arm around you and tell you, you're going to make it. Don't push everybody out of your life when you're going through a storm. Don't push them away. We're only alone because we choose to be. God has an angel. God has a person. God has a man, a woman that He wants to bring in the midst of your storm that can stand beside you through the darkest day of your life and tell you, you know what, I talked to God and He said, you're going to make it. You're going to get through this. You're an overcomer. You're a survivor. You're going to get through this storm. You say, well, Pastor, that's wonderful, but I'm not there. I'm not in a storm. Life is wonderful for me right now. Well, perhaps, consider this, perhaps it just might be that God is positioning you right now to be the angel for somebody else. It just might be that God has you in a good season, in a good place of your life right now, so that you can be the angel to someone else, so He can send you to somebody who's in a storm. He can send you to somebody that all they have around them is darkness. He can send you to somebody whose boat of life is being ripped to pieces right now, that you can go and be God wrapped up in the flesh to them. Put your arm around them and say, you're going to make it. And I'm here to stand beside you in the storm and tell you, you're going to make it. What if it's someone on your impact list? What if it's one of those five people you're praying for and you're believing are going to come to Christ this year? And what if the risk God wants you to take right now is to contact them and say, I'm going to stand with you in the storm and you're going to make it.
Thank you for listening to our podcast today. If you would like more info about our ministry or Pastor Rich, find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Trinity Harvest. If this message has been a blessing to you, we'd love to hear about it. Send us a message or prayer request to info@trinityharvest.net.